would, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Probably most of us remember the day that we became a Christian. Those of you that have done that, it's a day of joy and a day of probably profound relief, knowing that your sins are washed away and that you've been obedient to the gospel. And you know, sometimes people think back at that and would like to experience that again. But you know, there's not any reason why we can't feel that, you know, over and over, that we have that relationship that we experienced at that time. See, even if you have, you know, committed sins, which all of us have, God has given us provisions to take care of that, not by being baptized again, but by confessing our sins. And a good example of how to confess sins, I believe, is found here in Psalm 51. So I'd like to go through this. And of course, many of us know the reason for this and why David needed to seek a clean heart, because he had committed grievous sins against God. And this is a psalm of asking for a clean heart. It's a psalm of confession. First two verses says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sins." And so here you see the basis for David's confession. First of all, he's pointing out the loving kindness of God. That's the reason that David can even express this at all. This is the reason that David is able to come and petition God in this way, because of the loving kindness of God. Of course, because this pardon is something that he certainly doesn't deserve, and he is seeking this washing and cleansing from his sin. So he does not start this off and say, "God, have mercy on me because of my past accomplishments, because you know how I have behaved in the past, and this is something that's abnormal for me, and this is not according to the way that I usually behave." You know, he's not asking for this cleansing based upon his past accomplishments or some reasoning based upon his own worthiness. It's all based upon God and what God would do for him. According to your steadfast love, according to God's steadfast love, blot out my transgressions. And so this is the basis on which that David can even ask this. And what he does is he acknowledges his sins to God. Verse 3 says, "I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." So you know how David here acknowledged his sin. Now we do know that David tried at first to hide his sin. He tried to cover it up. And eventually, you know, Nathan the prophet confronted him about that. And David was quick to admit that he was the man that did these things. And he suffered because of those things. So here David has come to grips with this. He says, "My sin is ever before me." He's not deflecting. He's admitting that it is his sin. "Against you, you only have I sinned." It's certainly true that David sinned against Bathsheba. He sinned against Uriah, and he sinned against his leader in the army who helped him, Joab, who helped him to commit murder. But what is ultimately true here is that this, number one, it begins with God. It's sin against God, and David remembered that. And so we should be able to appreciate this and emulate this when we confess our sin, that we need to take responsibility for what it is that we've done. We need to know that our sin is against God, and we don't need to make excuses. We need to acknowledge our sin. So I believe this passage is a good example for us in knowing how it is that we ought to deal with sin. Not passing the buck, not blaming somebody else, realizing that our sin is against God, and realizing that we have to take responsibility and confess those things. David didn't fault anybody else, didn't fault Bathsheba for being where she was and being undressed the way that she was. He took responsibility for his sin. And so also we see here an understanding of where we are and where God wants us to be. And we look in verses 5 and 6. David says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach wisdom in the secret heart." So until you're forgiven, you know, you're deep in sin. And David is acknowledging the deepness of his sin, but he's also indicating here that what God wants truth in the inward parts. God wants wisdom. And that's what he wants for David. He wants goodness and he wants wisdom for David. And David understands that. Also, David here prayed for renewal and he prayed for restoration. He says in verse 7, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit." And so David is wanting that restoration. He is wanting the relationship to be repaired. He wants it to be like it was before. But he also realizes there's some work to be done. He's wanting this purging to be done. He is wanting this sin to be gone. He does not want to be cast away by God. He wants that relationship to be there. And so David here, you see the progression as he's going through this confession, taking responsibility for what it is that he does and wanting to repair that relationship with God. But probably one of the most important things that we see here is found in the rest of the verses. David is committing to do better. He is committing to a life of more faithful service and grateful service for what God has done in this restoration. Verse 13 says, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you." So he said, "I'm going to use what you've given me, this restoration that you've supplied to me, I'm going to use that to be able to teach others. I'll teach transgressors your ways. I'm going to help teach others. And sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation. And my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness." So it says that I'm going to appreciate so much what it is that you've done for me that I'm going to tell others about it. "O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You would not be pleased with the burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." So he recognizes that he needs to have that broken spirit. He's also recognizing, you can see here, the gratefulness for what God has done for him, that he can't help but tell others and teach others about the restored relationship that he has received. In verse 18 it says, "Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the right sacrifices and burnt offerings, the whole burnt offerings, the bulls will be offered on your altar." So you see a progression here of how David is filled with guilt. He's asking God for restoration, and he has a sense of purpose to do better with the rest of his life and to take what he knows about the forgiveness of God and teach that to others. I think this is a perfect picture of what confession ought to be and what we ought to do when we realize the graciousness of God. When he's gracious to us, which he has been to all of us in forgiving us of our sins, it should be something that we want to share with others. We want to preserve that relationship. And when we have done something like David has done here that separates us, we desire to restore that relationship so that we we can continue walking in favor with God. So always remember that Psalm 51 is a good reference point to think about what it is that you need to do if you are separated from God. You need to confess those things that you've done, and you need to turn away from them. You need to resolve to do better, and certainly have a thankful and grateful heart toward God. If we can help you in any way tonight, respond to the invitation. We'd invite you to come while we sing.